Welcome to the Sleeping Outside the Box podcast. I'm your host, Doron Lazarus, integrative sleep coach and founder of the Sleep Coach Academy, where we check in every week with tips and tricks from the latest in the field to be able to allow you to get your sleep, your health, and your life back on track. So let's go ahead and dive in. I got a question recently, and someone was asking me, how do you help clients find their ideal sleep cycle? How much sleep do people need? When should they get to sleep? When should they wake up? How do naps all work? So I wanted to go ahead and speak about that for a few minutes, because I think a lot of people are pushed into misconceptions, maybe by their doctor or mass media, and I wanted to kind of give a more nuanced view. Number one is that we don't have the same sleep cycle, the same way that you're an individual with your personality, with your body type, with your metabolism, with your lifestyle. So too, your sleep very much is an individual thing. I've met people who thrive on 2 hours of sleep, 4 hours of sleep, 6, 8, and 10. And as opposed to trying to be like somebody else, I need you to try to think, how much sleep do you need to thrive? Now, thrive doesn't necessarily mean vacation-like sleep and how much luxury sleep would you like to sleep in all day. But thrive means how much sleep do you need to be functional, strong, and healthy, not feeling tired and run down, not getting sick and feeling irritable. How much sleep do you need on a consistent basis? If you find that you are falling asleep, your eyes are closing, your eyes are burning, you're yawning all the time, that's a sign that you are not getting enough sleep. And I know that can be a wake-up call, no pun intended, to a lot of people, but it's a relatively easy fix that a lot of people miss. Try it. Let's say you're getting 6 hours of sleep now and you're feeling constantly exhausted and run down. Don't just try it for one night. You really have to give yourself 2 weeks on maybe 7 or even 8 hours of sleep to really start to feel the difference. And then you can make an educated decision on whether those extra hours in bed are worth it. And I know for busy professionals and parents, it's not always an easy thing to get that extra sleep. But it's a cost-benefit analysis, and very often, the benefit that they get from those extra hours in bed, they're so much more balanced in the day, healthy, productive, less time off, less sick days, and they're overall the person that they want to be when they're well rested. Now, not all hours are the same, and we can perhaps make a different podcast on the quality of sleep and how to increase the hours that you're getting, but just for now to think about the quantity and getting those right number of hours. Now, once you've identified that for you, and by the way, that changes in life. It changes based upon what you have going on and stress in your life. Many times when we're more stressed out, we actually need more sleep to rest and recover from the toll mentally and physically that we're putting on our body. As we age and we go through every 5 or 10 years, our sleep cycles definitely change. If you're undergoing an exercise regimen or a diet, that could affect your sleep. Medication can affect it. Many things can affect it. And I encourage my clients to use their intuition, to listen to their body, to trust what their sleep cycle is telling them. And within that, to find the sweet spot, which, like I said, be open-minded, it might change, but to find where that is for you right now and to set goals to be able to achieve that. Now, even once you've decided on a certain quantity, that doesn't mean that your hours are going to be in the same time period as somebody else. Although traditional sleep medicine encourages people to go to bed at between 10 and 11, let's say for adults, it's very much an individual decision. Some people are naturally night owls. And while society might not fit around their night owl schedule, I would encourage them not to try to stuff themselves into as a square peg into a round hole. If they're a night owl, don't run away from that. Yes, if you're going to bed at 4 or 5 in the morning, that might be disruptive to your overall circadian rhythm. But, you know, there's nothing wrong if someone wants to go to bed at 12, 1, or even 2, as long as it fits with them, their personality, their hours are productive, they're able to have the flexibility to sleep in the morning, then go for it. I don't think there's a hard and fast rule when it comes to this. And for many people, those late night hours are their best hours, their greatest hours, the most productive hours when they have the greatest clarity. And so don't lose out on that. Many people are not morning people. And yes, there's a lot that can be done to be helped to shift that. Just like we can work on rounding out our personality traits, chances are that night owl is never going to be a morning person. And so to accept who you are and embrace your personality and to try to run with it. You know, many jobs really thrive off of night owls. People who are working night shifts, nurses, doctors, pilots, they need those night owl personalities. I know for myself, I am not a night owl. I'm very much a morning person. Come 10 o'clock, I start getting drowsy, fuzzy, my eyes start closing. And I'm almost envious of people who can work and be productive and study late hours into the night, but that's just not me. I know if I have something important to do, I'm going to go to sleep and get up early in the morning to do it. And so each individual has to find that sweet spot, both in terms of the quantity as well as when in the night they're getting it. Another factor to keep in mind is napping. And it's interesting because in the Western world, we've kind of ousted napping. Napping ended in preschool and, strong people don't take naps. But I think that as well is societally driven and very much based upon the individual. Some people don't do well trying to cram all their sleep at night to get those 8 hours, let's say. Some people do a lot better getting maybe 6 hours of sleep at night and then taking a nap in the afternoon. If your schedule allows for it, or even if you can build it into your schedule, naps can be great ways of catching up on sleep and to feel focused and productive for the night, for the day ahead. And many people really thrive on that. I know in Middle Eastern cultures and South American cultures, they get their siesta and they're much better because of it. So not to run away from the naps. Now, if you do find that a nap is throwing off your sleep cycle every time you take a nap that you're simply not able to fall asleep at night, then maybe naps do need to be avoided, but there's no hard and fast rule with that. How long should your nap be? Again, an individual decision. Many people fall asleep very quickly during the day and other people don't. So, while some people will thrive on a 20-minute power nap and they fall asleep as soon as they close their eyes, other people it takes them 20 minutes just to fall asleep during the day and going for more an hour, hour and 15 minutes is going to be best for them. It's generally recommended not more than that because then that can throw off your sleep cycle at night. But again, try it out, trust your judgment, find the sweet spot that works for you. Let's say you have somebody that they need, for whatever reason, to start shifting their circadian rhythm. They're a night person now. They usually go to bed at 1 or 2 in the morning, but they're starting a job, they're starting school, they're in a relationship. They have to start getting up earlier, and they want to start adjusting that. So there's a number of things that can be done to be able to naturally adjust your sleep cycle. One of them is the use of melatonin, which, I've spoken about melatonin in the past. I'm neither pro nor against. It's a tool that can be used in a temporary sense to be able to naturally shift the sleep cycle. And at any time that you're adjusting their circadian rhythm, you always want to do something gradually. So let's say the person right now, they go to bed at 1 o'clock in the morning and they want to shift to be an 11 p.m. kind of person. So I would recommend maybe over a month's time, every week shifting 30 minutes. So week one, going to bed at 12:30 and then 12, then 11:30, and then slowly bringing it down to 11. And, not to say that you have to use melatonin, but for some people who simply don't get tired at night, taking melatonin maybe 3 hours before the desired time of sleep can be helpful to temporarily induce drowsiness, jumpstart the circadian rhythm, and get your sleep cycle back on track to where you'd like it to be. In addition to melatonin, I think a great thing to think about is light. Our bodies are very sensitive to the light around them. And when you want to start recalibrating your body, it's both important to dim the lights, have more subtle lights at night without those bright fluorescent overhead lights, as well as in the morning, as soon as you're able to get that bright sunlight, to get fresh air, give your body the clue that now it's morning time, now is wake up time, and be patient with the process because it's not going to happen overnight. Certainly giving yourself a wind down time if you are trying to get to bed earlier, as well as adjusting your eating schedule. Many people think circadian rhythm and they think sleep, but it's very much tied to our eating and our metabolism. Bring those meals earlier. Intermittent fasting can be a great tool to help lower the insulin levels and allow the body to feel more rested and sleep better earlier in the night. So those were just a few tips. Go ahead, and if you do have any further thoughts, you can put some comments in the show notes, and I'm happy to make an episode to speak specifically to your sleep issue as well. This has been Doron Lazarus with the Sleeping Outside the Box podcast. If you're interested in learning more about how to solve your sleep issues once and for all, or to become an integrative sleep coach and help those around you, go ahead and check out our website at sleepcoachacademy.org. There you can learn more details and fill in an application if you're interested in any of our services. Sleep well, and we look forward to seeing you in the next edition